For Kathy and Rick Offerman, my dear mom and dad, who first taught me the ways of gumption. And for Mike Schur, for teaching me that we can still be very funny while saying I love you. To succeed in life, you need two things: ignorance and confidence. Mark Twain. Introduction. How does one compile a list of great Americans? It's an embarrassment of riches. To narrow the field, I decided to begin with my choice for number one. I imagine, or at least I would hope, that most of our citizenry would agree by an overwhelming percentage that the first person landing upon that list is, no, not Ray Kroc, the progenitor of the McShit sandwich, no, not Miley Cyrus or Beyoncé Knowles or even Oprah Winfrey. Jesus. God damn. No, people, not Jesus. Yes, he was reportedly a super cool guy, but he just doesn't qualify as an American. I am referring, of course, to George Washington, the father of our country. I want to note that of all the possible subjects, he easily sprang to mind first, based merely on my foggy grade school knowledge of his life's achievements in helping to create our republic, and then sticking around to lead it as our nation's first president. Plus, he had wooden teeth. I'm a woodworker. Slam dunk. A sports metaphor, specifically basketball, meaning that the point has been scored emphatically. I then began a list of other possible great Americans, basing my selections upon achievements of one kind or another that I considered to be great in scope. Leaders of men and women, leaders of 4-H clubs, activists, artists, zealots, woodworkers, boat builders, farmers, musicians, priests, muckrakers, stoners, Hillary. Because after all, for the purposes of my examination, what exactly constitutes a great American? Runs batted in? Military victories? Humanitarian efforts? Amassing wealth? Collecting scalps? A number one single on the Billboard charts? A larder full of bacon? Ford F-250 in the barn? Well, duh. While I continued to compile a roster of potential icons and discuss the book's overall direction with my great American editor, Jill, I began to read anew about Washington and the birth of our nation. I was powerfully stricken when I contemplated the actual situation in which our founding fathers found themselves, well, foundering. Faced with the choice of either a continued subservience to an overweening Mother England, or a gathering of their colonial brass balls in their midst with which to cast off the taxing yoke of England's imperial control. Years earlier, when I learned all this history as a lad in school, I suppose the full implications of the events were lost on me as I was not yet wielding a complete grasp of adult responsibility or governmental culpability as it applies to our daily lives. The magnificent sons of bitches who founded our United States truly brandished a courage that is hard to fathom, and a serving of foresight that very well beggars my modern imagination. Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, Alexander Hamilton, James Madison, and the like saw the extremely rare opportunity to create a new American experiment. One in which the best organizational techniques and brewing methods could be retained from the old guard European governments while discarding all the more unsavory trappings, clotted cream, of the monarchies and oligarchies they'd left behind on the continent. These forward thinkers envisioned a nation ruled by the people for the people, founded on notions like liberty and justice for all. Now all they had to do was liberate themselves from the iron grip of the military equivalent of Dwayne the Rock Johnson that was 18th century Great Britain. As I will explore in the coming pages, our country's inception had a lot of heroic nobility deservedly draped about its innovative framework, but it was also a series of events conducted by human beings, and so the intrepid experiment could not help but display some flaws as well. Not only were our fledgling American government and society crafted by human beings, but further, it must be